All right, good morning, golfers. Welcome to On Par with Anthony Scorsia. Great to have my man, the myth, the legend, Woody Lashin in studio, co-owner of Pete's Golf Shop, and the company is a member of the top 100 club fitters as dictated by Golf Digest every year or whenever they do their things. You were the last year. I know this year isn't out yet, but we look forward to you being on that as well. Woody, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great, Anthony. I'll tell you what. Little Bruce Springsteen, a little golf season's in the air.
Yeah. You know, I think we were talking earlier. I mean, 50 degrees and sun today might be the first time we've had that combination this spring in the Northeast.
I think today is the first golf day. Really, it's the first.
And why wouldn't it be? Moving day at the Masters. We got a lot going on. Jordan Spieth, Dustin Johnson, Charlie Hoffman, a lot of people in the mix.
We got a lot to go over.
We do have a lot to get over. So let's get to our first break so we can come back and talk a little more golf. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia.
The Long Island Golf Association is a nonprofit organization of 81 private and public clubs. The LIGA conducts 15 championships annually and works closely with the Long Island Caddy Scholarship Fund. Scholarships are granted to young men and women who are employed at member clubs. For more information on how you can participate in a championship, or if you'd like to donate your time as a volunteer, please call the LIGA at 516-746-1015. That's 516-746-1015, or visit us at www.longislandgolf.org. Is your inspection due? Are you tired of listening to that noise your car is making? If you're looking for a reliable shop to service your car, try A1 Action Auto for all your car service needs. A1 Auto is a New York State certified shop, and owner Ed Terabiel has over 25 years of experience. A1 Action Auto is conveniently located off Sunrise Highway in West Islip, so pick up the phone and call A1 Action Auto at 631-321-4242. That's 631-321-4242.
All right, welcome back to On Par with Anthony Scorsia. Great to have my friend Woody Lashin, co-owner of Pete's Golf Shop, in studio with me. Woody, before we get going, I want to just a special shout-out to a person who helped make the show go for season 5. Believe it or not, we're in season 5.
Season 5.
Yep. So, fifth anniversary, but Dick Kearns and La Mar Meat for stepping up for being a sponsor this season. You know, the one thing that I've enjoyed above all doing this is meeting special people like yourself, people I wouldn't, you know, I probably would have met you in the club fitting business, obviously, getting fitted.
We did meet long ago
before any of this was even a thought. But you do. It's the wonderful thing about golf is meeting really some quality people. And I can't think of a more quality person than Dick Kearns.
They don't come much higher quality than Dick and Maureen Kearns. Yes, they are just spectacular people.
Yeah.
We went to La Mar Meat just the other night.
Right.
First time we've gotten there since Dick bought it, and it was just great.
Yep.
His son's a chef. They do, you know, whatever you want done.
Sure.
They do it. They really did a great job. Really enjoyed going there, and it couldn't be a better family.
Yeah. Fios just did a profile on them online, and a video of it was on live, and then they have it uploaded on their website as well. And so it was nice to get to see his son talk about things. You know, we talk about stuff that we love. It was nice to see him talking about stuff that he loves.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
So,
and we're going to have Dick on the show at some point this summer, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I mean, he is a wealth of knowledge when it comes to the PGA Tour with what he does.
Exactly. Exactly. So just a special thank you to La Mar Meat and Dick Kearns and Mo for joining the On Par family this year and helping us reach our fifth anniversary.
Be careful, part of the family. You know, there's some family members.
That's right. So let's get to the winter. I mean, a lot going on this winter. First of all, brutal. Second of all, brutal. And but you know, you went to the PGA show, and we'll get to that. But you know, I'm a little concerned. You know, golf being in a contraction, which I don't necessarily all think is bad, but for the most part, it's been in a heavy contraction.
Absolutely been a contraction.
And part of me feels like that's not a totally bad thing. It weeds out a lot of the nonsense that built up during the, you know, a lot of the excess. And, you know, for a niche sport, I think it got a little too big for its britches. You know, I think people confused, you know, viewing numbers and purse numbers with participation and...
Well, I think those numbers just get inflated because, you know, the problem is you have those of us that love golf and want to play golf, and then you have those of us or those of them who are trying to make money in golf, and they're trying to inflate numbers to try and get companies to invest and do things that, you know, aren't really right for this sport. It's a hard game. Golf is a hard game. It takes a lot of time. I think once you start doing it, it's just spectacular. And wants to bring you back.
Sure.
But it's not for everybody. And if you think it's going to be for everybody, it's not going to work. I mean, so there's no question it was a little retraction needed. But the sport is solid.
Without question, I think it'll always be solid. It'll always have its core membership, and that's really, you know, what it's always been. What concerns me is, on a place like in the Northeast, and particularly obviously for us, Long Island, is that now you have a industry in contraction, with, you know, compounded by an abbreviated season.
Yeah, well, this is the first season that there was really no winter golf.
Right.
I was telling you earlier that there's a golf course out east where they told me they had never posted a zero rounds for March ever.
Right.
And this year they posted a zero rounds for March. No chance to have rounds. So we've not seen this bad of winter where there was snow on the ground and this cold and impossible to play, where you couldn't even, you know, tough it out if you were one of those guys that would
do that.
Gals that would tough it out. Couldn't do it.
And then to further complicate matters, you have damage. Right. Ice damage from the...
Ice damage is the biggest problem that you're going to see on some of the greens because, you know, snow is actually good for greens. But when the snow melts and then it freezes, that ice, I want to say if it's ice for more than 20 days, one of my superintendent friends could tell me, it starts to kill the roots.
Right. Right.
And that becomes a problem. That you're not going to get that fixed until you get some serious growing time, which is, you know, a couple months probably.
Sure, sure.
So I'm sure as golfers, you're out there today playing, you're going to see some temporary greens. Yep. You're going to see some temporary tees.
Yep. Let's just hope they're just grateful to be out there. So.
Yeah, well, I'm sure they are. After this winter, I'm sure anybody who's just outside.
Temporary green, whatever. You know, let's just get after it. I want to just swing the club, you know.
Yes, so... But the conditions aren't going to be so great. Greens are going to be bumpy. I mean, I talked to a few people that played yesterday, and, you know, they were just happy to be out there. But if they're looking at the conditions, well, bumping all over the place.
Right.
And, you know, the bunkers aren't taken care of. And,
yeah.
I mean, one of the things that us golfers don't understand is that normal winter time, most golf courses do a bunch of maintenance, stuff that we don't even know about, like drainage stuff.
Right.
Where you wouldn't even understand that they did anything there, but... It helps the turf become more healthy.
Sure.
Or there are problem areas they have to fix. Every golf course has it. Just like when you have – think about it. If you have an old house, things start breaking. You got to repair and fix that. Golf course is the same way. Couldn't do it this winter because it was – you know, once there's snow on the ground, they can't bring equipment out there. They couldn't do those things. So they're really behind when it comes to any of that stuff that they want to do. And a lot of the golf course, I'm sure, are pushing it off. We're not going to do it. But if they got, of course, means they're going to conditions will suffer a little bit. So
you
need to give them a little bit of time. Let's just be happy to get out there, play some golf, and worry about the conditions a little later on, and worry about all 18 greens being open a little later on.
You know, I didn't even think about that. It's really it's a good point. Capital improvements have to be done in the off season, or things that can be done when it's closed. Right. Exactly. Now they're going to have to really work hard on those. And a lot of, you can't even do it on Mondays because now, you know, a lot of golf courses are doing outings and stuff like that. So they're really, like you said, behind the eight ball in terms of the maintenance department. And so that'll make it even more challenging. They have a challenging year ahead of them.
Yeah.
There's no question. There's no question about it. It just makes me wonder if we're going to start to see a little more, some of the golf courses that we have, if they're going to survive. Some of them, you know,
see some traction. I mean, we'll see. I think to that point, though, there's still a lot of golfers out there that want to play golf.
Yep.
And maybe we don't get a chance to play golf in the wintertime, but we want to play golf in the summertime.
Sure.
You know, golfers are passionate.
Yep. Yep. Yeah, so, I just wonder if it's all going to level out. I wonder if we've gotten to that point. Yeah, we're getting to that point. But, you know, speaking of winter, let's talk about something about a little more positive. You went to the PGA show.
Go every year, our annual trek, me and my staff.
How is that in the last, we're talking about all this contraction and whatnot. Have you seen that at the...
You really saw it this year at the PGA show.
Which I think is funny. Well, I don't think... I just find it interesting is because a lot of the big names were talking about how there was a buzz this year and how there was... And I know it's part of that pump it up, we're going to convince you that we're doing well. You know what I mean? We're going to convince you that... the state of golf is healthy, but I'm just curious to get your impressions.
I think one of the things that for me that I like this year, positive about the PGA show, is that in the past there'd be people there that really either weren't really in the golf business, their buddy owns a store, so they got a pass.
Right.
And they're there just looking. Well, I'm there trying to gather information to help the average golfer play better golf when they come in my store.
Sure.
So when there's more serious people around, you get a lot more done.
Right.
Because you're talking to different manufacturers. They don't have to waste their time with someone that's not seriously in the golf business.
Sure.
So I really like that. So that for me was a more positive buzz from that standpoint. But there's no question. You could see the companies are cutting back on their booth space. They're cutting back on the things they were doing. In the past, a couple of companies have these big shows with bands and stuff like that. They cut that all out.
Mm-hmm.
But they still had their engineers there. We were there talking to them. And there's still a lot to – I kind of like it that the fluff has a lot been cut.
Yeah, the excess, like we were talking.
I don't need the band, and I don't need the big dinner.
No.
I want the meat.
You're nuts and bolts. Just give me what I need.
And let me learn about the golf clubs. And I actually think that was a little better this year. You could certainly see less people there. And
let me just interrupt you real quick because I think you bring up a good point. There's the you side and there's the marketing side. And there lies the rub, right?
Right.
Because
absolutely.
You want to cut that club open. You want to cut the ball open. You want to say, okay, why is this doing what it's doing? How is this going to help Anthony Scorcher play better golf?
Absolutely.
Right? Meanwhile, there's the guy who wants the band and the big marketing booth and the big signage and all this stuff. Not that, I get it. They have the bigger budgets. They can do that kind of stuff. But there's a sort of conflicting, but it's just when you see that, it's sort of like it symbolizes sort of what goes on in the golf industry.
Yeah, there's no question that there's a lot of I like to call it fluff,
right?
But it's marketing. It's trying to pump up stuff. To me, if you have a good product and you keep improving that product, I think people are going to enjoy that,
right?
And that's what I'm looking for. And I think from a golf standpoint, the person that's out there, it doesn't matter to me if you shoot 150 or you break par every time out. If you are passionate about the game of golf, then I love you.
Right.
Because that's the game that I love.
Right.
The person that's out there that's, drinking beer and throwing clubs.
Yeah, right.
We
sure.
And you're getting less of that because – There's less of the fluff to come out and play .
Sure. Yeah, no, totally. I totally get it. And I think that's why I don't think it's the contraction is all that bad, because I feel like, you're going to keep the pure golf core
that you want.
I always feel like, and I'll continue to say that golf is a niche sport. And I don't know if that's necessarily a bad thing. I think if people just treat it for what it is, and industry-wise or marketing-wise, that's fine. Let's take care of the people that take care of the game. Instead of doing all these crazy things to try and reach more golfers, how about we take care of the people who are passing the game on? You know what I mean?
Well, I'll tell you what. When we come back from the break, I'm going to talk to you about something neat to help growing the game that I think is a big positive.
All right. Well, for you to say that, that's got to be big. All right, you're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorcia.
Pete's Golf. Since 1979, Pete's Golf has been practicing the art of club fitting and has been selected as a top 100 club fitter by Golf Digest magazine. At Pete's Golf, we use the best technology available to create an exceptional fitting experience for every customer that walks into our store. Visit petesgolf.com or call 516-248-6891. That's 516-248-6891 and get your next set of clubs fit for you.
La Marmite Restaurant is a Long Island landmark. The tradition remains, but the menu, music, and vibe are all new. Golfers enjoy our wine selections from the vineyards of Ernie Els, Luke Donald, Jack Nicklaus, and Jim Nance, along with music on Friday and Saturday nights. Visit our website at lamarmeatrestaurant.com for more details. Choose La Marmite for your next night out. We'll make it a special one.
All right, welcome back to On Par with Anthony Scorcia. Wonderful to have Woody Lashin, co-owner of Pete's Golf Shop, in studio with me. All right, Woody, you teased us into the break. Bring it home for us. What do you got there?
Three words: drive, chip, and putt.
Oh, isn't that?
I'm not sure if you folks got a chance to watch it on the Golf Channel, but yep. I taped it. It was Easter Sunday.
Sure.
Was Easter Sunday? Yeah, it was Easter Sunday. And boy, it was so neat to see these kids.
Sure.
And I think about that, boy. As a kid, if you could have worked and practiced in your game, and to get a chance to be at Augusta,
tremendous.
I mean. It was just spectacular. That's growing the game, in the right way. Because I suspect in a few years, that's just going to be huge. You're going to be hearing about all the time and letting the kids to play.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think there's no bigger incentive than kids seeing kids on TV.
Yeah.
And they say, I want, you know, I had posted one of the things on Facebook, the image of that one girl, I can't think of her name offhand, the one who made that, she hold out the long putt, the 15 footer.
Lauren Morgan, maybe?
No. It was the youngest division, and she was jumping up and down.
Oh, okay. Yes.
Right? She's jumping up and down, and there's no more powerful image than a young girl jumping up and down with just pure joy. And you know what? Her friends are going to see that, and other friends, and people in the school are going to see that. And hopefully, that will permeate.
Yeah.
You know,
and
through
get young kids playing golf.
Get young kids because I think the PGA pros, the guys that are out there where the rubber meets the road, are doing what they need to do. They get kids to play. You know, they teach either the parents, and now they're in now they're teaching the second generation. I think they do what they need to do. But things like this, I think, help.
I just think it's huge. I mean, you have young kids. I don't have kids, but I would think if you put that on and they say, "Oh, hey, Dad, come take me to the driving range. Let me work on my game."
Yeah.
And you have a sport where you can go play with your own foursome.
Yep.
Right. Your wife, your kids, you can all play golf together. There's no other sport you can do it together.
Yeah. So, no, I agree. I think it's a it's definitely a powerful image in helping grow in the game, without question.
So I really enjoyed watching that. And folks, if you didn't watch it this year, next year make sure you set your DVR or watch. It's going to be the Sunday before the Masters.
Yep.
And they have four age divisions. In each age division, they have 10 boys and 10 girls. And it's exactly what it says. It's drive, the longest drive, the closest of two chips combination, and the closest of two putts. And the putts they take on the 18th hole of Augusta.
Right.
How cool is that? I mean, it's kind of like that putt that Amira made to win the Masters.
Exactly. Exactly that putt. Well, Lisa was this year.
Wow.
Yep.
Was
tremendous.
That so cool?
Yep.
So cool.
And we had a local girl make it to a playoff.
The
girl in the, I think, in the 14, 15 years from Laurel Hollow.
I'm ashamed I don't know her name. But
Jennifer Rosenberg.
Ah.
Jennifer Rosenberg is her name. And she...
Good going, Jennifer.
Actually... It's she kind of got robbed, like a little bit robbed. The girl who beat her, they both deserved to be there, but the girl who beat her, they went to a playoff.
Yep.
And the girl hit a putt that would have gone 15 feet by, and it just hit the hole. It just caught the lip and went around, and so it knocked all the steam out. So it only turned out to be like a two-footer or something like that. And Jennifer couldn't. Yeah, she had the opportunity. Couldn't knock it inside that. Obviously, didn't hole it, and they couldn't knock it inside that. It was a tough putt. What I found interesting about the two different putts is because one was that sort of
uphill to the back.
Yeah, uphill to the back, and now you're going to a more level putt, and you have no
downhill.
Sense.
That's not level.
Right. But you have no clue. You know, the kids had no it's a struggle. They're nervous, and now you have to try and do the one thing that you need the most, and that's have feel when you're shaking. I mean,
I'll tell you the coolest thing for me, though, is if you watch those kids on that downhill putt. I'm telling you right now, if that was adults, everyone would have left it short because they would be so afraid of how scared it was.
Yep. Oh, and without question.
And those kids, they weren't leaving it short.
Oh, no, they were gunning for it.
I loved it. It was just great.
It was really just a wonderful. It's a wonderful celebration of youth golf. There's no question. I could do without if I had to say one thing. I didn't appreciate Golf Channel. They had showed one kid crying. You know, that's not what it's about. You know, it's not what it's about. It's about the joy and the competition. They didn't need to do that, and I was a little disappointed.
I think overall it did a good job. I didn't, like I said,
99%.
It was 4 hours of coverage. A lot of coverage.
Yeah, exactly. And to be fair, they only did it the one time, but they did it. I caught it, and I was like, we don't really need that, do we? This is not what this is about.
Yeah, no,
this
is about. Should be about the joy. And
I mean, we understand they're upset. We know they want to win. We know they're children. You know, we don't need to, you know, that doesn't need to be the face of drive, chip, and putt. The little girl and the 8-year-old jumping up and down.
How about the one kid saying, I never thought I'd get here before my dad did? The dad was there, was like,
That's tremendous. That's tremendous. Well, speaking of Augusta National, what can we say about Jordan Spieth? If you took Jordan Spieth out of the tournament, let's just say, you have a hell of a tournament.
Yeah.
You're right?
Absolutely, you do.
Hell of a tournament that we have here, except, you know.
Charlie Hoffman.
Let's just take away the anomaly for the first two rounds. You have Hoffman at -9. You have Rose Johnson and Casey at 7. Mickelson at 6. Hells at 5. And a host of, and a foursome at four under. So forget about just that alone. I think people would be happy with.
Absolutely.
That would be tremendous. But then you throw in this 21-year-old who's just, you know, he puts me as a golf fan in a little bit of a conundrum. And that is now I need him to go and win. Because I don't want to see a collapse.
I don't think I see a collapse from him. But you understand my...
You know, there's still a Greg Norman out there. You know, those things happen.
Right, that's right.
Those things happen, you know. And
well, I was listening to, and someone was talking about Ken Venturi. It shot 80 in a final round of a major. And, I mean, now he's an amateur. He wasn't, but he's still 21 years old. I mean, Jordan Spieth's still the same age, that young man. But I don't think you're going to see that at Jordan Spieth.
No, I don't either, but
I don't think the makeup, and I am rooting for him to do well. What I would love to see is, I'd love to see him shoot even par today and have a couple guys go low to make it a little interesting.
But I think maybe I should rephrase it, because it doesn't really need to be a collapse. It just could be one bad hole.
Right.
Let's say he makes a triple bogey on a whatever hole.
Easy.
And then shoots even par one under for the rest of the round. Well, you just brought everybody back in. You know, you brought a bunch of people back into the conversation.
And triple bogey is lurking at every hole.
Every hole. I mean, you know, and he's just handled it. You know, I don't know, and I'm sure that the golf industry has made enough of his sister who is I believe she has Down syndrome, and I think growing, you know, I think that's helped him become like a 21 going on 31.
Yeah.
I think
he handles himself that way.
He does. He really does. The way he speaks, you know, in an authentic voice. He doesn't seem like a scripted PR guy. He speaks from the heart. He's not saying anything, you know. And part of the reason why you can say that is because nothing he ever says is ever taken out of context.
Right.
Right. There's no room for that. You know how he feels, and everybody writes it that way, right? And so, and he doesn't give him an opportunity to. He doesn't give a writer or any, you know, some outlander or outlier go nuts with a quote or anything like that. You know where he stands. He speaks from the heart, and I think that's a credit to him.
I agree, and I can't wait to it's 3:00 this afternoon.
Yeah,
that the match will be on at the shop, and we'll be trying to sneak a peek at it.
Yeah. You'll be listening. You'll be listening to. You'll be listening and watching launch numbers. Hopefully, my launch numbers soon. Yeah, we're gonna take one more. I think we'll take one more break, and we'll come back. We'll wrap things up. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia.
Here at last, golf season. South Shore Golf specializes in golf club repair, regripping, and PGA golf instruction. They will not be undersold. They will match all local prices. For more information, call South Shore Golf 631-563-2025, 631-563-2025, or check them out online at southshoregolf.net. Heading out east? How about a quick and easy easy stop for all your golf needs. Let South Shore Golf take your game to the next level.
All right, welcome back to On Par with Anthony Scorsia. Thank you for joining us this morning. Lovely to have Woody Lashin, co-owner of Pete's Golf Shop, in the studio. Woody, we've got a few minutes left here. What are you looking forward to this spring in terms of local events? We got a lot coming up. What do you have a particular favorite coming up? Or
well, I was thinking about it a second ago. My favorite is listening when I'm not on. Is listening to On Par Saturday mornings. That's my favorite thing I'm looking forward to. I'm looking forward to the Richardson.
Yeah.
The first amateur event of the season.
Yeah.
Been lucky enough to get invited the past 20 years. I'm not sure why, but
right. You and your friend, Mr. Wargle. Love that guy.
My buddy Mike. I hope we get paired together.
Yeah.
It signifies to me that the golf season's really here.
Right.
You know, all the best amateurs from Long Island and Matt Airy will be there competing. Then you go. You have the Richardson. You have the Havemeyer. And then you have a Travis. So it's three, you know, invitationals in a row there. And,
yep.
Long Open qualifier in the middle there. I mean, the start of golf season is here for those amateur and professional events on Long Island.
Yeah.
Which I look forward to. I think that's those things are great. If you know, folks, if you ever want to go and watch some good golf with no ropes, and go to the State Open or go to Long Island Open.
Sure.
The Long Island Open is at the Creek this year.
Yeah.
Just go. You can go. And watch some of the best players in this area. There's some good players here. I tell you what.
Yeah, sure.
Some really good players in this section. You get to watch some great golf.
And some great venues as well. I mean, there's, you know, the Sea Wing Club is classic. Bethpage Red, which is, you know, it's.
Well, I think the LI Open at the Creek this year, right? Am I correct?
Yes.
About that?
Yes.
The qualifier is at the Red, what they do is every other year they have it at the Red.
Right. Right. Sure.
Tremendous golf course, the Red, by the way, very underrated.
Without question.
The Black happens to be next door to it.
Exactly. Exactly. But if the Red got the same treatment as the Black in terms of, I mean, and it's always in good condition. I mean, don't get me wrong. But let's just say you had a private funder who could match dollar for dollar everything that went into the Black into the Red. They'd be
amazing.
It'd be amazing. It's a tremendous track. I always enjoyed it as much as the Black, to be honest with you. It's fantastic.
I love it. It doesn't beat you up as much as the Black does.
Exactly.
The Black is going to take a little piece out of you.
Oh, without question. That rough is just brutal. It's just brutal. But so, yeah, exciting. And for those of you, you can go on longislandgolf.org. Obviously, one of our sponsors here and part of the On Par family, they do a lot of the local events.
They do a great job for Long Island Golf.
They really do.
Amateur side, the professional side, they do. Yep. Do some great events, run them great.
And you can volunteer, like people who listen in locally, you can volunteer for that stuff. And sometimes that leads to golf, you know, because they're appreciative of anybody who comes to help out and stuff like that. So that could lead to playing some really nice tracks in the
don't
area.
Don't give away too many trade secrets.
Well, Woody, I can't think of a better person to launch the fifth anniversary of the On Par show, you know, than with you. And so I really appreciate you being part of the program, man.
Well, thanks for having me, man. I just love doing this show. I love listening to it when I'm not on it.
Yep.
Just great.
Yep, absolutely. Well, that's it for Season 5, Episode 1 of the On Par Show. We're looking forward to a healthy and warmer spring and summer, and hopefully we'll all be out there and we'll be talking about how we're playing as opposed to how the pros are playing. So thank you for joining me, and we'll look forward to seeing you and talking to you every Saturday. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia.